to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Rahul Sood, the president of Unicorn, a company that focuses on esports wagering and events and is a global esports bookmaker. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by Questback, the smart choice for the gaming industry's workforce requirements. In an era of rampant corporate misconduct, organizations need to leverage their most valuable asset, their people. Questback specializes in fostering that dialogue, delivering invaluable insight to organizations around the world on the most challenging governance, risk, and compliance initiatives. Whether it's internal misconduct reporting and workplace response or organizational cultural development and leadership assessments, Questback delivers the invaluable insight that drives exceptional organizations. To learn more, visit questback.com. Esports wagering is in its infancy, but Rahul Sood got on board early. His unicorn company is the undisputed king of esports betting, with major investors like billionaire Mark Cuban, star of CNBC's Shark Tank, and owner of the NBA Dallas Mavericks. Esports is a burgeoning opportunity for the casino industry, but how likely is it that casinos will be able to participate? Sood discusses how Unicorn operates using many different titles and player skills. He talks about how the company handles its bets, why cryptocurrency is part of the Unicorn strategy, and how it would work in conjunction with the casinos. He spoke with me at the Unicorn offices in Las Vegas in September. Rahul Sood, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. Start from the scratch. Let's give us a little thumbnail of your company, the history, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Unicorn was founded in 2014 by myself and a friend of mine who I met when I was running Microsoft Ventures. Mm-hmm. He had a gaming company that I really liked, and we invested in at Microsoft and decided to acquire them. But basically, Unicorn is a global esports bookmaker, for for lack of a better description. We create our own odds. We are we offer live betting on our platform. We have we're like a fan first company. So mm-hmm. So the best way to describe us is we really embedded ourselves in the esports community. We create content like right. ESPN would. We have our own team ownership. We run tournaments. We really are a participant in the community versus just a betting operator trying to get in the space. And I guess the most interesting piece, I guess, is that we're the only wagering company on Earth that's built entirely on blockchain. Our platform supports 9,000 transactions per second. And I don't know when this is coming out, There's something coming up here pretty soon that will allow us to offer our betting services using multiple currencies across multiple countries. So, okay. Yeah.
And you actually established your own currency as well. Unicoin, is that what?
Yeah. We established the Unicoin in 2015, and we created Unicoin Gold back in last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And how does that work?
The idea with Unicoin Gold is it can be used in a number of different ways. I mean, it's not just a wagering thing, but basically customers can come to our platform, they can connect their gaming accounts like League of Legends and Dota and, Fortnite or whatever, and they can earn tokens while playing games. Mm-hmm. They can win tokens in jackpots, they can win digital items in jackpots, and then we can use Unicoin Gold as like betting bonuses and things like that. So there's lots of ways that we can build our ecosystem around the Unicoin Gold. Mm-hmm. It's new now, but I can tell you that in this space, in the wagering space, we're on the bleeding edge. I think we're light years ahead of anyone else. However, right. I do believe that this will become like a norm in the future.
Sure. Well, this is certainly the aspect of esports that really interests the casino business.
Yeah.
But explain how
your betting works. I mean, do you have to be a player to bet, or can you be observe the games and bet?
Yeah, both. So one is spectator betting, where you can actually observe the games and bet based on the odds that we put out. The other one is player betting, where you can bet on yourself in a game. And you can bet in tournaments. You can do buy-in tournaments. Like, we run buy-in tournaments at the MGM, for example. They're mini tournaments, but basically people can go. They can pay, like, $15, and then they can win a prize pool. But there's also the ability to actually bet on yourself in a game. So,
So it's almost like a poker tournament, then.
Yeah.
So what regulatory bodies have you been through? Have you been licensed by? And how do they oversee your activities?
Right. So we worked with the hardest regulatory bodies. I mean, we worked in Australia.
Right.
We worked with the Isle of Man. We worked with Malta, even the UK when we were partnered with Luxbet. But we're currently licensed in Malta. We have a fiat betting license there, and we also we're about to close in on another license that gives us the ability to do fiat as well as our crypto. And you know, to be honest, the it's not easy to get that. Like, there will be the first company on earth to get it. It's very difficult because they have to look at how you built your KYC and AML systems on the platform, how you do wallet tracking, you know, how do you prevent, like, money laundering, and and how do you deal with responsible gaming and things like that. It's all really important stuff. I mean, regulators are put here to protect consumers while enabling innovation. Like, those are the best regulators do that. And you know, it's helped us be a more credible, responsible betting operator.
So how do you make regulators comfortable with that? I mean, you know, the regulators I know are pretty traditional. They don't really understand technology that much, and it's hard enough to get them to understand slot systems, much less something, you know, when you're talking about blockchain and cryptocurrency.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's really just a matter of dealing with forward-thinking regulators first, right? I mean, the ones that are that are willing to look at technology and who want to innovate in the space. You know, there's plenty of regulators out there who are comfortable just with the way things are or were, but it's all going to change. You know, and if companies don't change with it, they're going to miss the next wave of customers.
Right.
So, so you know, we set out to be pioneers in the space, and once we launch with this platform, I think other operators will follow or try to, and they're more than willing to come to us to license our platform. We built the best technology in the world for this. We're happy to talk to them. And I can tell you that the regulators we work with are the best in the world.
So, So do you take bets on some of these independent tournaments, you know, the ones that draw 20,000 people to a arena in Korea or something like that?
Yeah, we do. We do it on all the major tournaments. You know, we take bets on all that stuff. You know, obviously we don't do, like, fourth tier tournaments with unknown entities, but we definitely do most of the big esports tournaments around the world.
I'm sure regulators are concerned with how you approach problems with match fixing and that kind of thing. How can you assure them that that's not happening?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just the space has developed so much. I mean, you know, these players are professionals. They make lots of money playing. There's you know, there's no point in risking their career around match fixing. However, you know, match fixing happens in all sports, I guess. The best way to spot a cheater is through a betting operator. You know, we collect a lot of data. We can look at an anomaly and, you know, anomaly bets, and we can stop betting. We can then notify the tournament operator, have them do an investigation, and then go to the teams. I mean, it's it doesn't happen. You know, it happens in some games, like in Korea and, like, other places it happens, but those are games that we just don't support, so it doesn't matter. So it's really just being selective about, you know, who we work with, the tournament operators, making sure that they're the big events, and we're very good at what we do.
Let's talk about the sponsor for this episode. Questback works with clients around the world, including one-third of the Forbes list. Questback powers transformative organizations through the power of feedback-driven insights. sexual harassment, whistleblowing, gender pay discrimination, conflicts of interest, corruption. In an era of rampant corporate misconduct and heightened public scrutiny, organizations must leverage their most valuable asset, their people. When do they see that on a daily basis? What are issues or risks in the front lines? Do your employees understand corporate policies? What are your organizational risks on the ground floor? QuestBack specializes in fostering that dialogue. Visit their website at questback.com to learn more about QuestBack's solutions for internal misconduct reporting, whistleblowing, governance, and compliance initiatives.
So you mentioned MGM. Are you currently working with any other casinos, either in the U.S. or in the international sphere?
So there's lots of casinos that want to work with us. The challenge is just resources. Like, how do we do it? You know.
Right.
So we're talking, but you know, at the moment, we really just want to get our platform scalable so that they can effectively just use the template.
Right.
And build on it, mm-hmm. and you know, hire their own people to run tournaments and things like that.
Right.
You know, at the moment we're building the platform with MGM. You know, we keep improving the software that we've built based on feedback that we get from them, and then you know, eventually, like, we're open to kind of licensing the software platform to others. They just have to be willing to make the investment, and it's a very long sales cycle in casinos.
Yeah.
So you know, I think the only way that it's going to, you know, hit mass adoption in casinos is by force, mm-hmm. and it will happen.
Yeah.
Because one way or the other, they're going to realize that, you know, the current slot machine business is a business that's going to have to transition to something mm-hmm. else.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of discussion at the conference we were at a few weeks ago about whether, you know, esports players and millennials in general are really ready to gamble, and you've got some real experience in that. What's your opinion on whether that's true or not?
That's very true that they are more than willing to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, fantasy is a good example of how younger people are sort of into that kind of, like, high frequency type trading slash instant gratification sort of thing. But when it comes to esports, players are very interested in betting on themselves. They're very interested in the skill aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's shown that they have tons of money that they spend on things they care about. Like,
right.
they'll go out and spend $1,000 on a video card. You
yeah.
know, and it's just really how you create an environment and cater to that audience that mm-hmm. that matters. So. Yeah, we know they like to bet, you know, and we know that this is a growing market, and it's getting the demographic is increasing both in age and also you know, it's expanding in age, meaning mm-hmm. they start at like 2 years old and they go up to like 45 kind
right,
of thing.
Yeah.
So it's expanding.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about the teams? I think that's a pretty interesting phenomenon. Caesars is sponsoring a league this year, I understand, but I understand, like, the best. Esports players are somewhere between 14 and 22.
Yeah.
That makes it a little problematic when you want to create betting on these kind of teams.
I mean, it's, you know, like, tennis is a good example of mm-hmm. or gymnastics, or
right.
like, there's plenty of, like, you know, sports where you have younger
right.
you know, participants, but
figure skaters.
Yeah, exactly. Figure skaters,
yeah.
Like, it just doesn't, you know, that argument doesn't work well in this space. What you need to know, though, is, like, the major tournaments where people are betting, like Dota and CSGO, they tend to skew older anyways. It's League of Legends where they're a little bit younger.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, like, the 18 or over thing is not a real big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning there's more professional players that are 18 or over
yeah.
than
mm-hmm.
under. So,
okay.
So, you know, in the case of New Jersey where they say you can only bet on tournaments where the players are a certain age,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we have a problem with that. I think we can easily cut out the ones where they're younger than, you
right.
know, than
mm-hmm.
the age.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So are these leagues, are they all connected to one game? You know, you've got League of Legends, you've got Halo, you've got
yeah. You're basically asking, do the publishers work with gambling?
Right.
Like, well, right,
right
now, you know, it's kind of a spectrum. You've got people that are open doors trying to work with us on data
mm-hmm.
and, you know, thinking about the future of the space. And you got ones where they say we can't do anything with gambling because,
right.
you know, the optics of it or whatever they are. And we totally understand that. So when we built Unicorn, we built our platform to be completely publisher agnostic.
Uh-huh.
Like, it doesn't matter what the publisher does.
Right.
you know, we create a wagering experience on top of pretty much all the popular games.
So, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So when new games come out, for example, you know, my kids are into Fortnite now, which I hadn't heard of until 2 years ago.
Yep.
And that's obviously become such a big power now. Is that going to change the market when something like that happens?
Yeah. So, you know, when a new game comes out, it just means like there's there's usually more players. You know, the market expands, and there's sort of more tournaments and more opportunities, I guess you could say. It just creates more markets for us, you know, more opportunities for our business.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So the conference we were at was casinos and esports. The casinos are still a little bit confused about how they're going to use esports to bring the younger audience in. What is your opinion on how they're using it so far, and are they really missing the boat in any way?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, there's still very like CFO spreadsheet focused at the
right.
moment.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for the immediate return. And you know, along with that, you know, they're not thinking about things like the cost of parking, or you know, or like how do you promote to these people
right.
if they're coming, you know, into town, sort of thing, so they know there's like an esports area to go to. You know, the cost of food or the types of food that they serve.
Right.
You know, and creating events that resonate with this audience, like it's really a total experience.
Mm,
so
right.
it can't just be tucked into a room somewhere. You know, without everybody in the operation knowing what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to do better cross promotions. They have to cater to that audience with the right merchandise and the right food and the right offering.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I was when I first went to the opening of this esports arena
yeah.
at Luxor, I was kind of confused about the food they were offering,
right.
the sushi and some high end food. And
right.
I'm thinking these kids just want to have hot dogs and stuff that they can shovel in between the games.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you know, so that's kind of the thing that it's just really it's a cultural thing. I think people just need to really understand the culture and then go
right.
from there.
Yeah. Yeah, and another word I hear all the time is authenticity. If you don't, you know, demonstrate authenticity to these people who are coming in,
yeah.
you lose them right away.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
And what do they consider authentic?
Well, you know, as an example, with our company, when we started Unicorn in 2014, we just started to build content and experiences that would embed us in the community. We didn't think about revenue,
right? Yeah, sure.
You know, we thought about how do we become part of this fan base,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And then how do we let the fan base lift us on their shoulders,
right.
so that we can build a business around it.
Right.
That's kind of the process, I guess. It is a process, and it's an investment, and it's a long term investment, and you know, people have to be willing to kind of make that to be part of the community. Otherwise, they just won't accept you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned skins and tokens earlier on. How do they play into the gambling aspect of this?
So for us, we've always been advocating against skin gambling,
mm-hmm.
just because it's horrible. I mean,
right.
there was websites out there where you can connect your account within 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And start betting skins, and like 13-year-olds were losing, you know, hundreds of thousands
right.
of dollars, basically, or hundreds and thousands, I should say, and and it's just bad. Like
yeah.
it's bad practice. They're, you know, the sites are operating illegally, and it is gambling. But you know, skins and virtual items are very much a part of this community. That's why at Unicorn, people can come to our site. And they can actually, you know, earn tokens, and they can enter them in for jackpots for skins.
Mm-hmm.
They can do this for free.
Right.
And you know, we offer people the opportunity to trade their skins in for UKG if they
mm-hmm.
want. So we're kind of building a full ecosystem around it that's not necessarily wagering.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the cryptocurrency to begin with, and forgive me if I ask stupid questions, because
yeah.
I'm not up to speed on this as much as I should be. But does this have any crossover with like Bitcoin and things of that nature as well?
Yeah, like you know, our people can trade our cryptocurrency for Bitcoin or
mm-hmm.
Ethereum if they want. You know, the idea with our cryptocurrency was really about discoverability. Like we wanted to work with exchanges around the world. To be able to offer our cryptocurrency so people could ask what it is and then learn about the Unicorn platform
right.
and participate on the Unicorn platform. So for us, it's really, it's a customer acquisition tool. And it's a tool that we can use for marketing and branding and all sorts of things. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But are you not afraid that this is really gonna? I mean, this esports is strange enough for regulators, but when you throw the cryptocurrency on top of it, that's when I think you might have a problem.
Well, I mean, you know, we haven't so far, yeah. But you know, we in markets where we cannot use the crypto, we won't use the crypto. Mm-hmm. But you know, the idea for us is like we're a pioneer in the space. You know, we're a pioneer in esports. Mm-hmm. Bookmaking, like being the best of what we do,
right.
and we're a blockchain pioneer, you know, right. And we're not a betting company, you know, like a traditional betting operator has a traditional business and they use like traditional software and stuff right. like that. I mean, we're Unicorn is an esports. I guess the way to describe it is we're a global esports company built on the most cutting edge blockchain and gaming technologies, mm-hmm. And so because, you know, we're a technology company first, we have to start pushing new tech because we think it's going to improve the customer experience overall. And it really mm-hmm. does. I mean, the idea that you can build a betting operation on blockchain and have like full transparency with customers and full KYC and AML and wallet tracking and knowing what your full bet history is, dealing with responsible gambling, like all of that stuff can be done on blockchain better than any other tech.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, for us, it's building the systems and then working with the regulators to educate them on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, but for example, if Nevada wanted to regulate esports, but they were a little scared of the blockchain and cryptocurrency,
yeah, we won't
you
do
can still
it.
Come in, you know, without.
We can still come in with an offering without the cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Great. So, you're going to be appearing on our UNLV Gaming and Hospitality Education Series on October 25th, and we appreciate you helping us out with that.
Yeah.
What are you going to try to tell the casino executives who attend those sessions?
Well, I just want to have a discussion, I guess,
yeah.
right? I don't want to tell anybody anything.
Right.
I want people to ask questions, mm-hmm. you know, learn about what we do, what we're doing in other markets, and then just make it like a good educational session both ways, mm-hmm. I suppose. Like I'm not there to tell anybody how to run their business.
Sure.
I mean, these guys know how to run casinos better than anybody does,
right?
Right? This is Las Vegas. This
but
is like
in
the,
terms of incorporating esports.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of incorporating esports,
you've got the experience in Australia. You've been down there for quite some time.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Like I'm happy to kind of like talk about what you know a good esports experience would look like in a casino. MGM is pretty forward thinking. I mean, they really are investing
right,
in this space
sure.
and trying to make mm-hmm. a difference. I think the challenge they have is just how do they take it to the next level? Like mm-hmm. they have a venue. You know, they have a couple of different venues
right.
now. They got the, you know, the Level Up at MGM Grand. Mm-hmm. They have this, the Luxor, you know, esports arena. How do they take it up to the next level by infusing culture into it? And
right.
I think that's the part they're trying to figure mm-hmm. out and they're trying to wrestle with. So, you know, that's a challenging part. That's really,
sure.
like, you know, at the end of the day, you need younger people working for the company who understand and really appreciate the space, who can come up with really cool ideas.
Right, right.
You can't just have a bunch of old men, you know, trying to figure it out.
That's
it's
right.
hard, right?
Like
and because the problem is the when you have that, you know, they're thinking about why is this nightclub not making money or why is it
right.
making money, right? How much per square foot are we generating? Like this is the kind of things that you can't ask yourselves. Like you have to say, how do we invest in the space to bring on the massive events?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get TwitchCon here?
Right.
You know, like that sort of stuff
sure,
is the
right.
kind of stuff you want to think
yeah,
about.
Yeah. So. I went to a tournament that was hosted at the Caesars site, which is behind Bally's. It's a big studio
yeah.
generally, and you know I went in there at the height of the tournament, and it was exciting, but I had no idea what was going
yeah.
on. But everybody else seemed to understand what was happening,
right.
and it seemed chaotic to me. But I guess that's the culture that you have to get used to and bring into your casino.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Unicorn did really well is we created something called Bingo,
right.
where you can watch a game of CS:GO and play mm-hmm. Bingo using our app.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So, so you know, if you don't
understand
the game,
that.
You understand Bingo. You know, it's a great way to engage that audience.
Right.
And we can do that in live venues. We can mm-hmm. do that anywhere.
Right.
And you're going to see a new version of Bingo coming out soon on our site. And we're happy to talk to casinos about how to make that work.
Okay, great,
so,
great. Well, Rahul, thanks for taking the time to
yeah.
talk to us. I think your company really is on the cutting edge of esports for sure, and you really understand that, how it can incorporate into casinos. So I hope people come out and see you on October 25th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there, and I'm willing to talk about anything.
Great. Well,
yeah.
thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you.
hope you enjoyed this episode of the GGP Podcast brought to you by Questback. To learn more about the services provided by this company, visit questback.com. To learn more about esports, sign up for the UNLV Gaming and Education Hospitality Series on October 25th, where esports and sports betting will be addressed. In addition to Rahul Sood, the esports panel will include Robert Rippey, the director of the esports lab at the UNLV International Gaming Institute, Alex Eagleman, the CEO of Millennial Esports, whose company built and operate the first Las Vegas esports arena, Drew Brunson, the vice president of esports for Caesars Entertainment, who will explain his company's esports strategy, and Ben Fox, a partner with Gamecon, which produces esports events for casinos. To sign up, visit unlvghes.com. To learn more about the spread of esports in the gaming industry, visit GGB Magazine. For weekly updates on all the news of the gaming industry, visit ggbnews.com. And to find the best bonuses and promotions for iGaming and how to attract more players to your legal iGaming site, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz and on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. That's it for today. Hope to see you next week for the GGP Podcast.